Our gospel today paints a picture of the end of the world. But what happens when we die? In the time of Jesus, there were many notions of what happens when you die. Romans, some thought that you dwelled underneath your grave. Some thought that you became like a ghost. Some thought that you were simply annihilated, that that was the end. Even among the Jews, there was debate over what happens when you die. The Sadducees thought that you were done. That was it. There was no afterlife. The Pharisees believed in an afterlife. So even among the Jews, some debate. What do we believe as Christians? Well, when we talk about the end of the world and about death and life and what is to come, we typically refer to that as the four last things. The four last things. And this is something that every Christian should know. Death, judgment, heaven, or hell. The four last things. Death is one thing that we are certain about. Whether you're Christian or not, whether you're pagan or believe in a God, we all know that we die. And death is defined by the separation of the body and the soul. The soul being that which animates the body. And one popular notion in our world today is that when you die, you can somehow change your mind or you get one last chance. Or God's going to ask you, well, what do you prefer, heaven or hell? But Scripture speaks to us of a different truth. That death makes our decisions definitive. In fact, one common argument against the Christian view of death and judgment is, why would a merciful God not give somebody one last chance? Or why would a merciful God judge someone? Why would somebody who spends their whole life doing good but dies in serious sin be sent to hell? Guys, because with that separation of body and soul, we enter into eternity. And in eternity, there is no time. Things are timeless. And the decisions made in this life become permanent, become fixed. That's why even one decision to end our life living in sin, telling God that we want to be separated from Him and then dying that way can become a permanent state. It is important that as the Scriptures speak today, both in our first reading and our gospel, that we be ready for the coming of the end of the world because we don't know when it's going to be. Now, some people interpret that to mean that, you know, we should be in like constantly anxious and worried. No. No. This is the beauty of our Christian faith. We should be hopeful, living free of sin, living in this kind of freedom where I'm able to share the joy of Christ with other people and welcome them into His family so that they can go to heaven too. But if we are living in serious sin or we're not ready, then we are going to kind of feel that anxiety. And that's a call to us, a wake-up call, to get right with God and to continue to live that way. That is death, the first of the four last things. Next is judgment, not a popular idea in our society. In fact, we go around telling each other we should not judge. Did you know that you should judge? That you should judge every day? When you pull out of the parking lot today and turn left to go west on Maple, I hope you judge that correctly, or else you're going to cause an accident, right? We make judgments every day. They're just good judgments, and we're not condemning anybody to heaven or hell. That's a judgment reserved for God. I make a judgment that I'm not going to go to a bar at midnight and get wasted. That's a good judgment, right? You see, guys, we make judgments all the time. We make a judgment about a person because we know that if we hang out with that person, it might mean that we fall into sin too. That is a good judgment. But if we go around condemning people, telling people they're horrible, that they're beyond redemption, that they're going to hell, that's not the kind of judgment we're talking about. And the judgment that God gives us is not so much a judgment, but a finding. A finding. Think of a court case. In a court case, the judge's job is not to give his opinion of you. Like, you know, you really got nice hair and you dressed well today, so I'm going to lessen your sentence. His job is to apply the law, right? That's his only job, is to apply the law fairly. And so he, at the end of a court case, a judge will actually say, I find you, or you have been found guilty, and therefore you are sentenced to such and such. Guys, that's what our judgment is going to be like. It's not God giving his opinion of you. He made you. It's kind of silly for him to have an opinion of you. He knows you through and through. The question is, does he find you guilty or innocent of your sin? If you have relied on the mercy of God and repented of that sin, then he can look upon Jesus and say, Jesus paid the price for you, and you are therefore innocent. Welcome into eternal life. But if we refuse that mercy, if we don't humble ourselves and accept the mercy of God, then he's going to say, I find you guilty because you refused the mercy. You see, guys, judgment is something we bring upon ourselves. It's not God standing there with the big stick. A finding of our guilt. And that judgment is whether we are worthy of heaven or hell. Heaven, of course, being a place of beauty, of unsurpassing beauty. Something we can't even conceive of. The little kids in school, they often ask me, Father, what's heaven like? I don't know. I can tell you what I hope it's like. I hope there's beautiful golf courses. I hope that I can fly around like Superman. And I want to go to other planets. That's really my only desire. I want to go to other planets and see all the universe because it's so beautiful, right? Each of us has our own little idea of what heaven will be. It is perfect. It is happiness. One of the kids asked me Friday, Father, will my dog go to heaven? I don't know. If that's what you need to make you perfectly happy, then your dog's going to be there. If you don't need it, it won't be there. Somebody asked me on Thursday night, Father, what's the first question you'll ask God when you get to heaven? And I said, well, if I get to heaven, pray God. I don't know that I'm going to have any questions because one of the beautiful things about heaven, guys, is that we share in the very life of the Trinity. We experience what God experienced, including his knowledge. We're not going to have any questions at that point. It's going to be given to us because we'll share the inner life of God himself. Father loving Son, Son loving Father, the fire of that love spirating the Holy Spirit. Described in the scriptures as a consuming fire. This is the beautiful thing about heaven and hell, guys, is that they're both a kind of fire. And the way we live our lives determines what that fire does to us. Either the fire can eternally hurt us and give us pain because we're holding on to the impurities and the impurities want to burn off. Or we can be like what St. Paul says, like a refiner's fire, where that love of God burns away the impurities to make us a pure piece of gold, a pure piece of silver with no impurity in it. And brothers and sisters, that is exactly where our doctrine of purgatory is so important as Catholics. And I mention purgatory under heaven because, guys, that's exactly its purpose. Most of you will not die perfect. If you plan to, please come and share your secret with me after Mass. But most of us will not die perfect. And yet we know it is not appropriate that even an ounce of sin be there in heaven, right? Not an ounce of evil. So what happens? It has to be purified, purged. I had the fourth grade look up the definition of purge, which is the root word of purgatory. It means to take away any impurity. And St. Paul listed for us last month what those impurities are. Licentiousness, that thought that we can do whatever we want to. Immorality, lying, stealing, cheating. And not just the Ten Commandments, but the precepts of the church. You see, purgatory is not some type of halfway house between heaven and hell. It's not some additional punishment. It is a mercy. It is a grace. It is God saying, you know what? You're not perfect, but I do want you to go to heaven. In my mercy, I want you to be with me in heaven. But we got to get rid of these little impurities first. And so I'm going to put you through the refiner's fire. The fire of God's love, purifying your heart. Hell is not something we like to talk about, is it? All you have to do is read a few of the saints' descriptions of hell. I remember one that made the biggest impact on me in high school was one saint describing how a person had been in hell and they were hot, they were burning. And on the other side of the room, they saw relief, they saw a cooler place, so they went over there. And on the other side of the room, they began to freeze and go numb. And so they went back to the other part of the room where it was warm and began to burn again. A place of eternal torture. And hell is something we bring upon ourselves, brothers and sisters. Again, remember, our judgment is a finding, not an opinion of God. He finds that we have chosen to be apart from Him. And this is the thing. We think that when we die, we're somehow going to be able to make a choice, or when I get to that point on my deathbed, yes, I'm going to repent. And I have gone to people's deathbeds, and I have seen them not repent. I have gone to them and asked them to go to confession, and they refuse. I visited a lady in the nursing home, and just last week I went to visit her again. And every time I visit her, I would ask her, would you like to go to confession? And she'd say, no, Father, I don't do that. I went to visit her last week, and she was gone, dead. God is continually offering you mercy after mercy after mercy, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. A guy died on a bicycle just right up the road here on West Street yesterday, 50 years old. Do you think he was going to die? Do you think he thought he was going to die riding his bicycle? Remember, our gospel says we got to be ready now. And that's the reality, and that's the point, guys. You're making a decision for heaven or hell right now, today, this moment. By the way we live our lives, the way we conduct ourselves, and whether we put off repentance. Oh, I don't really need to go to confession. That wasn't that bad. I'll go to confession later when I have time. I'll repent. I'll make up with God when I feel like it. God is so merciful. There's not a thing you've done that He can't forgive you for and heal you from. But if you put Him at arm's length, He's going to respect your decision because He gave you free will. For love to exist, hell must exist. Have you ever thought of that? You see, for love to exist, choice has to exist. Is it loving if you have to love your spouse? If you're mandated? Or is it loving when you say to them, out of all the people in the world, I choose you and I continue to choose you because I love you? That's love, right? Love is choice. And if God is going to give, God wants to be loved by you, he has to give you a choice. The choice between him or not him. That's heaven or hell. And so these are the four last things. Death, judgment, heaven, or hell. On an ancient Roman tomb from the time of Jesus, in Latin, a man had this inscribed. I was not, I was, I am not, I do not care. That reflects the attitude of many in our world today. I do not care. But it's time to start caring. Because your choices right now reflect your eternity. Determine your eternity. And you are meant to live in that eternity. St. Thomas said, begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. So that each thing we do, when we start it, we're thinking about the end. And so, brothers and sisters, what decisions are you making? Things that you are doing, behaviors that you are participating in, that you need to have the end in mind. Death, judgment, heaven or hell.